This is radio Bible teacher John Walden. We're going to have a little Bible study now on the subject of why so much juvenile delinquency. People are asking this question today. They're very disturbed over it, and well, they might be. And I'm as disturbed over it as anyone. 25 years ago, Mrs. Walden and I began a home for children in Colorado Springs. And in that quarter of a century, we have seen terrible things happening among our young people. Now, needless to say, God did not make children to be juvenile delinquents. When God created man, he created him in innocency. But I believe the Bible teaching about the fall of man. I believe that sin came into this world through the temptation of Satan, and because man had a choice, he must have a choice if he is to be a thinking being, and he made a wrong choice, the fall brought on what we call the total depravity of man. I believe this. I see no other explanation for the way people do. The first boy in this world was a murderer. He grew up to murder his own brother. Now, that wasn't bad environment. There must have been something wrong on the inside of Cain. This has been the sordid history of the race. In the fourth chapter of our Bible, you read about a man who murdered another one and then wrote a song about it, bragged about it. From the very beginning, man began to go astray. And the scripture tells us that they are no sooner born than they go about speaking lies. That is, at a very young age. But there has been a great increase in juvenile crime in recent years, and we know some reasons for that. We can see what the Second World War did. From Pearl Harbor on, we saw a decided downgrade among our young people. Part of this was because of so many women working. Now, this wasn't all patriotism. As we look back on it now, we know a great deal of it was greed. A great deal of it was simply a desire to get in on things. A desire to get away from the boredom of home life and get out into the world. Our attitude in recent years toward liquor has contributed toward this, too. So has the trend in child psychology. There seems to be a swing of the pendulum to the other direction now, but I remember not very many years ago when people were afraid to say anything to correct a child for fear you might frustrate the little dear. They needed to be frustrated on the seat of the pants, but people in those days thought that it was wrong to correct a child in any way. Now they're beginning to realize that the kids will take the place away from you if you don't correct them. I don't believe in cruelty. I think it's kind to a child to make him mind. After all, you have to teach him to brush his teeth and take a bath, don't you? What's wrong with teaching him to behave himself? The removal of the Bible from our homes and from our schools has been a tremendous factor in juvenile delinquency. Some of us can remember when most homes read the Bible. They may not have been Christians, but they felt that the family altar was a part of the home life. Someone has said that there's enough dust on most people's Bibles now to write the word damnation. If a Bible exists at all in the home, it's hardly ever read. A little girl said to her mother, "Is this really God's book?" And she said, "Why, certainly, dear." Well, then she said, "Why don't we send it back to him? We never use it." That isn't funny. That's serious. And the Bible has been shut out of the school. Of course, they've got everything else in the schools. It's all right to teach them Bertrand Russell's free love teachings. And it's all right for a child to have all the influence that he wants from Hollywood and the influence of many pseudo-scientists who teach evolution as a fact instead of as a theory, who want them to believe that they're only a few hop, skip, and jumps from an animal anyway, and so there's nothing wrong with acting like an animal. But no Bible. The Bible has been shut out of the school. The blame can be laid at the door of many churches as well. Modern church doctrines, for the most part, have turned away from the simple truths of the Bible. Man's ruined by the fall, redemption by blood, regeneration by the Holy Spirit, these are not taught in many churches today. And if a child is not brought up on the Word of God, it isn't much wonder that he turns away from everything that's good and decent. He doesn't have any foundation for his life. Now, prominent people are very alarmed at what's going on today. You've probably read articles in the paper by J. Edgar Hoover and others who know the situation. People are alarmed. And yet those of us who know the Bible are not as alarmed. We may be alarmed, but we're not surprised, certainly. Passages like 2 Timothy 3 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy," and so on. Disobedience to parents, then, is said to be one of the characteristics of the latter days. Now, we acknowledge that there are different kinds of delinquents. And if you're going to face this problem of juvenile delinquency, you've got to be fair. There are many children, far more than we would like to admit in our country, who are on the borderline mentally. They are hardly responsible. We have an increase in this. The use of narcotics of various forms, the way that we are living, the rottenness of the human race is contributing toward this, and altogether too many children are born with borderline mentality. Now, these children need special care. We can spend all kinds of money for other things, but we're not doing what ought to be done to care for children of this type. But there are many children who are brilliant, and they're not from the poor homes. Oftentimes they come from the wealthy homes, but they are spoiled, self-willed brats. I don't say it's their fault. I'm not blaming the child at all. This is oftentimes a matter of parental delinquency. Not always, but oftentimes it is. The parents are too busy with too many other things. The child doesn't have any training except from the servants. Some of these children would be glad to have an opportunity to do something better than they're doing, but they're bored with life. Then we have so many from neglected children, from broken homes. So many children who haven't a chance, who come home from school to find the house empty and cold, who get their own meals. They used to call them door key children. They had a door key hung around their neck. That was their home. Too many working mothers. Some mothers have to work. My mother had to be father and mother both to us because my father died. But in the low-income bracket, we have many children going bad because there's no one at home to look after them. The worst of all, of course, is that they are spiritually and morally ignorant. We are not teaching our children the Bible. Every child should know the Ten Commandments by heart. The Ten Commandments won't save him. He can't be saved by keeping them because he can't keep them. But they will prove to him that he is a sinner, and he'll know right from wrong. He'll have a standard. He should be taught the gospel. He should be taught that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. He should be taught that the Lord Jesus loved children and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." He should have that fine heritage of Christian songs and choruses for children. He should know, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And many other good Christian homes. These children should know the Word of God, and many of them don't. Some of them are just out-and-out rebels. They are criminals. There's no use calling it anything else, and such will have to be restrained to protect the public from them. But many of them can be reached, and I've had a little part in reaching a good many of them. What is the cure? Well, you know, there are all sorts of things being done for them, and some of these help somewhat. But a man told me, who is a highly trained psychiatrist, who has a good staff and everything needed, he said, "You are accomplishing more with the children that you're taking into your home and teaching them the Word of God than I'm ever able to with all that I have here, and I don't understand it." Well, I understand it, because the real cure for a child or for an adult is Christ. Now, we've got to bring Christ before these children from the time they're little. If you haven't told your children about the Lord Jesus, you ought to be doing it. If you don't know about him yourself, you ought to find out. You ought to accept Christ as your own Savior so that you can lead those children to heaven. Bring them to Christ. Take them to Sunday school. And you ought to be reaching out, if you know the Lord yourself, to other children. You can do this through Christian homes for children. You can do it through the gospel being sent out in many ways to children. We ought to reach out to the boys and girls around us, because this works. I know from experience that it works. Of all the children who have passed through our care, and there have been hundreds of them, very few of them today are going astray. Almost all of them have trusted Christ as Savior, and their lives are straightened out, and they're getting along nicely. There are some rebels. There are some who want their own way. For such we still pray that God will reach them. But this is the cure: Christ himself. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the gospel, the good news that Christ died in our place and rose again. We pray for the dear boys and girls, many of whom have no one to tell them. Bless them, we pray thee, in our Savior's name. Amen.